Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
Hello, everybody. It's time for the Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, and I am joined on the other line by Jim Ozarski. He is the Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Bucks are back to some winning ways. Suggested maybe that win against the Timberwolves going into the break would be a little bit of a momentum thing if you believe in that sort of thing. And hey, sure enough, they've won three straight games, but it's been interesting. Jim, the biggest story that we haven't talked about since we last spoke is the suspension of Bobby Portis. He was suspended 25 games for violating the league's anti-drug policy, took a banned substance. He said he did so accidentally, believing it was a different drug. The Bucks won all three games without him so far, so the early returns are not devastating, but obviously Bobby Portis is a huge, huge part of this team. We've had some time since this happened. I'm curious maybe what you think people don't yet realize about the situation or things that maybe haven't, you know, maybe as it relates to like what will he be fully back ready to go when those 25 games are up, you know, that's going to be right at the start of the playoffs. So like, what should people still know about this situation that they maybe don't already? And what have your takeaways been?
Yeah. I think the most questions I've gotten since JR is, why didn't he appeal? And that's pretty simple in that he admitted to it. And it is also illegal to take someone else's prescription drugs. Like, not illegal in basketball, like illegal in the law. Yeah. Obviously, one pill or whatever is not going to bring charges or any sort of law enforcement. But in terms of appealing this, I mean, there's really no grounds for appeal, essentially. Like, he tested positive, he admitted to it while doing an illegal act. Like, it's pretty cut and dry in that way.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not like baseball where you appeal, you might get a three-game suspension down to two. And I could be wrong about this, but isn't it just it's 25 or it's nothing, and it's not going to be nothing? So, like, it's not going to get subtracted?
I mean, I think the appeal would have been try to, like, not be suspended at all because
right.
It is a 25 game suspension. Like, that is the suspension for a drug violation. Honestly, JR, like, an appeal might have led to more games, to be honest. Like, the league could, an arbiter could have taken this in a different way. Like, really, you're going to try to appeal this? Okay, guess what? So I think more games might have been on the table in some other version of these events, JR. So I think fans maybe didn't realize that part of it. So I think that's important. Some fans were wondering about the lag time between a positive test in late November and a suspension in February. My understanding is that was just sort of the process of this, be it the testing, the retesting of things, the working through stuff. It just took that long. There's no need for transparency by the league or the players union on that one, JR. So that just kind of was what it was. I guess the third point, people wondering, oh, is this why he wasn't traded? No, Bobby Portis was not really involved in any trade discussions other than a sort of a salary filler along with Chris Middleton. No one was sort of looking to trade for Bobby Portis like in a one-for-one deal. And in all reality, JR, the Bucks weren't interested in that either. Like, Bobby was a big part of their team. And my understanding is no one knew about this. Like, the Bucks were not aware of this around trade talks. He could have been dealt, JR, and then he would have been suspended with his new team. This would not not have been like a rescinded trade, the Bucks hiding something, etc. This came out in late February. So if he was part of a deal, he'd be suspended with whatever new team he was with. So hopefully that checks some boxes, I guess. I think fans would want to know.
I don't know how much you can or want to say about this part of it, but certainly anytime you hear somebody say, I took a banned substance accidentally, you know, it's dubious, right? Like fans are going to have a hard time buying that. I don't know the ins and outs of opiates versus anti-inflammatories, tramadol, toradol. I can't tell you a whole lot about that. Maybe it's a perfectly understandable mistake, but I mean, can you shed any light on, we'll obviously never know. There's a lot that we just aren't going to know. He's going to serve his suspension and be back. And it sounds like the players are welcoming back with open arms and all that. But is there anything to that that you can speak to? Like just the nature of the, I guess, quote unquote accident here.
I mean, look, tramadol was banned technically recently by the NBA, but it was a year ago. So it's not like it was just added to the ban list like days or weeks before this incident. Tramadol is an opiate. Our Laurie Nickel wrote this in sort of the follow-up that it's a, it's on the DEA's radar. Like it's not a light painkiller. Toradol is in the, Advil family. Tramadol is not. Like these are, that's to be clear, like these are not in the same family. These are not, oh, tramadol is like a just a stronger, no, they are separate. The doctors know they're separate, federal agencies know they're separate who deal with trafficking. So it's a pretty big mistake. Whether or not the first and last letters are the same and the pain killing effects might feel the same for certain people, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those reminders, I think, for professional athletes or even just regular humans to always check, you know, what you're taking with your actual doctor or your employer. And like in the case, if you're working for a place that has its own doctors. I can't speak to whether it's a mistake or not. I don't really go down. That's what they say. There's no way for me to know that.
Right, of course.
And obviously the NBA doesn't buy that either. So, or they don't.
Or it doesn't matter to them.
It doesn't matter. So yeah, JR, I think it is, but it is important to know the distinction. It's not just it's a stronger version of this drug. No, it's like a way different drug, way different kind of painkiller. Yeah.
Toradol, very common in the NFL. As sort of the anti-inflammatory that you hear the most about. It ultimately, it doesn't matter whether you made the mistake or not. The drug policy has been pretty clear on that over time. So, I imagine fans are welcoming back. They'll need a big because although Jericho Sims has started to get some playing time. So I'm curious your thoughts on how this has impacted the team on the floor. They've had three pretty solid games since then, all victories, including a comeback against the Miami Heat. On Sunday night, Jericho Sims has gotten some floor time finally. You know, after they traded for him, he really didn't see the floor for quite some time, and now he is part of this rotation. We'll talk about Kevin Porter as well, who has sort of risen up in prominence here in the last few days. But from what you've seen, does it feel like this team can weather the storm without a shooting big man, which is Bobby Portis? He's a pretty valuable weapon for them.
Yeah, it's a small sample size against, credit to the Bucks beating a crappy Wizards team and a under 500, not so good Miami team. I think the Clippers win at home out of the break was good. That's a good win. The Wizards, they were up big and let it slip away and finish it off. Right. Miami, they come back. Jericho Sims. Yeah. I mean, Doc Rivers made it pretty clear, JR, after his acquisition that he, like Jericho wasn't going to play much at least not in the regular season or in any sort of rotation. And then Bobby suspended and then Doc basically admitted, hey, when Bobby was home due to the death of his grandmother, like we leaned way too much on Giannis and Brooke clearly wore down, playing 40 and 36, 37 minutes. And perhaps not coincidentally, JR, Giannis pulls his calf, right? So, yeah, I think Jericho Sims playing 13 to 17, 18 minutes is going to be a thing, even when Giannis comes off this minute restriction through Bobby's return, just because I think Doc found out, like, this guy's got to play. He is not a shooter. His spacing with Giannis was weird because Jericho isn't going to run to the corner because that's not going to help anything. So him and Giannis kind of like ran into each other a couple times or were like in within a very short space. So there's going to have to be some, you know, adjustments there through the next 22 games. Obviously, that's a long time, JR, to figure that out. If there's a benefit to this, it's Doc Rivers, to me, JR, is a guy who needs to see it to believe it. Meaning, conceptually, 6'10 athletic Jericho Sims can do all these things. He can guard multiple defenders. He can switch. He can be this roller lob threat. I think Doc needs to see that. And I don't know if he ever was going to see it if Bobby was here. And so now they are seeing it. And Jericho is going to have to play. This also relates to Porter as well. So going forward, JR, going into the playoffs, Jericho's going to get some burn here, have some interesting lineup combinations. And then once they get to the postseason, Doc's going to have a level of confidence or not in all of these players. And that could unlock some things maybe for series against New York, series against Indiana, against Boston, where maybe Brooke Lopez isn't the best answer. And Jericho is going to have to play. And what better way to prove that he can play now as opposed to suddenly in like game two or three of a playoff series where you're like, oh, Brooke's getting run off the court here.
Yeah. So you've written about Kevin Porter a couple times. You wrote about some of the charges in his past that have been cleared. And then you've written about how he has taken to this new team and his teammates and the fact that he's contributing on a really high level. Having some charges dismissed does not change the fact that there's a lot of baggage here, but it maybe alters his story to some degree. Give us a rundown of what you've written about with Kevin Porter lately and what your impressions are of him to this point.
Yeah, so real quick, at jsonline.com, the news, and this is actually about a month old, the news is that the criminal record of his assault in 2023, which effectively made him persona non grata in the NBA, is cleared. He fulfilled a year-long plea agreement with the New York prosecutors and the Manhattan DA. It was a misdemeanor assault charge, but he had to go through therapy, counseling, obviously no arrests, no, you know, violations of the order of protection, all of these things. He checked all those boxes on January 23rd, 25th, something like that, JR. So before the Bucks traded him, so they knew he no longer had a criminal record, and he completed all of these things when they traded for him on February 6th. And so, yeah, his criminal record is clear in that way. There's a harassment violation, but that is not a crime in New York City. And so that obviously was a big, it was highly publicized, alleged domestic violence incident, in New York in 2023, JR, in September, out of the league in October. Right. And so while that was being sorted out, after reaching that plea agreement in January of last year, he went to Greece. Actually, it was the only place he was going to play. And he played a handful of games in Greece for PAOK, as it's commonly known. And, you know, I talked to one of his teammates there, and it was interesting, Jared, because they're like, yeah, we looked him up. We read about all these things, and we talked about it as a team and wondered, who is this guy coming in here? And you know, that player said, you know, he was – a great teammate. He was out in Macedonia, Greece, in the community. Fans took to him right away. Signed by the Clippers. The Bucks tried to sign him this offseason, JR, actually. So their homework on Porter began, you know, this past summer. He ended up taking a 1 year, a 1+1 with the Clippers, played a role in LA, coming off the bench, was not asked to be a scorer, was not asked to be sort of the face of anything like he was in Houston, took to that role. And Doc said he talked to Ty Lue about this. And when the trade was made, Doc and the Bucks felt comfortable about it with where he was. Torian Prince, honestly, JR, this is ironic. Torian was inadvertently part of Kevin Porter's first like locker room blow up in Cleveland back in 2021. Porter was just like coming back. He was out for personal reasons. He had an arrest there on charges that were dismissed. And he comes back to the team and sees that Torian Prince was put in his old locker and had a screaming match with the Cavaliers GM. And that led to his trade to Houston. And so I talked to Torian about that. And he's like, so he technically was a teammate of Porter's before, but he never saw him. Like, this incident happened and then Porter was gone. And so Torian, who also has an arrest on his background, was like, look, man, if you're going to hold something, things that happened 3-4 years ago and get somebody, he's like, that's kind of on you. So as like teammates and people, the Bucks have wrapped their arms around this guy. Giannis just flat out said, I love playing with him. And he just needed to be somewhere where he was wanted and appreciated. And that's interesting. So like Giannis, I think, is playing that big brother role to a degree. And so as basketball players, JR, they're rocking with him, you know, and Doc Rivers says that, you know, it's him and a couple staff members are sort of Kevin's guys, if you will. And yeah, as of now, he's, you know, 4 straight games in double digits. He is shooting the ball incredibly well, facilitating, still playing really good defense, has helped this team win 4 in a row. And going forward, JR, like, look, this team by trading Chris Middleton created, they're leaning into Giannis and Dame, but it created a hole in non-Giannis and Dame minutes, meaning where's offense going to come from? And we saw this in Minnesota against Washington when Giannis had fouled out and no Dame. Like, you got role players, but without stars, like, who's creating shots? Like, they didn't score at all against the Wizards because no one could get their own, and they're all not, like, good shooters on their own. Well, Porter was given a $63 million contract in up, which could have been worth up to 82 by the Rockets for a reason. Cause he scored 50 points against the Bucks once. Like he averaged almost 20 a game. Like he's got that ability. And so, yeah, JR, like it's a long way to get to suddenly he might be relied upon to be a secondary scorer in critical moments. And so, yeah, very quickly, this sort of one-for-one minimum transaction of Marjon Beauchamp for Kevin Porter that came with maybe a cloud of uncertainty. I know fans weren't happy about this acquisition, but I don't know, JR, like when he's leading a 12-2 run, Fiser Forum was rocking and cheering for him. He felt that love, his teammates feel for it. So I think going forward, everyone feels good about this partnership. We'll see as it goes. And he could end up playing a really big role for this team, you know, if they go where they think they can get to.
The Bucks' next game will be in Houston, Kevin Porter's old stomping grounds. That will be on Tuesday night. Then they're back home a couple days later to face presumably Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. You mentioned Chris Middleton. We got to talk about him as well. What serendipity that his first game with the Washington Wizards is against his old team. And not only that, but he hits a huge late three-pointer that makes it a one-point game, and he has a chance to win the game at the buzzer. And unfortunately for him, left it short. Bucks pull out of Washington with a W. Would have been a pretty bad collapse by the Bucks to have lost that game against a lesser opponent, presumably. But you still got guys on, you know, you've got Giannis and Damian Lillard limited to a degree here, so it's not maybe a full apples to apples comparison. But the Bucks won the game. You were there early to talk to Chris Middleton before anybody else got a chance about, you know, to get some of those thoughts on that trade. Those are well documented at jsonline.com, but I'm curious about just your takeaways from A, that conversation, and B, watching him play against his old team again, and what sort of impression that left you with.
Yeah, he thought it was interesting too that, you know, his first game was against the Bucks, and you know, he really appreciated that Brian Keefe, Wizards coach, gave him a chance effectively to beat his own old team, is what he said. I mean, the ball was in Chris's hands those final minutes. And Brooke Lopez was not surprised. He made the 1-3, and as Giannis said later, terrified that you see Chris Middleton curling around the screen for a three to tie the game and maybe send it to overtime. So, you know, Chris was interesting, JR. Like, he opened up quite a bit. You know, he's not a guy who typically does that. And, you know, you could tell he was bothered. He admitted he was bothered, right? He admitted he went through the stages of anger and denial and sadness, and then, you know, gratitude for his time and happiness with being able to kind of continue his career and, you know, get healthy and get right. So, what I thought was interesting was, you know, him saying the timetables of his return, full return from his ankle surgeries, were not going to marry up with the Bucks' needs. And so while Doc Rivers said, yeah, his availability or lack thereof was a factor, John Horst downplayed that. Chris was like, yeah, no, it's a thing, you know? So, doesn't mean he was happy about it. But it was, I think, interesting and of note that he sort of acknowledged that he was still sort of recovering and might yet have to through the rest of this year. So yeah, it was good. I mean, I think, you know, Chris understood, you know, he took the time to address the fans in different ways, both with a social media post and then obviously talking to us. So, and some other outlets. So he's, you know, that first game back in Milwaukee will be something. I don't think he'll be with the Wizards, to be honest. So I think that will be interesting next year. Curious how the schedule makers, you know, if they view that at all, and particularly where he ends up or if he ends up somewhere else. So yeah, no, jsonline.com. I think Chris, and then Chris and Giannis had, you know, reflected on their partnership a little bit. I think what was interesting is Chris made it known, like, hey, we're not like the best buddies off the court, but obviously the on-court partnership is something that was pretty special, not just in Milwaukee, but even kind of NBA history. I think just the trio of what Steph, Draymond, Clay, and Golden State sort of outlasted or had a longer time than Middleton and Giannis.
Yeah. The situation with the Bucks roster, you know, they're down a man because Bobby Portis is gone. You kind of wrote about some of their options roster wise, but it feel maybe a little shorthanded. Are there any moves to be made here? Possibilities still left on the table for them as they get into the home stretch of the regular season?
Okay. So just so fans know. So yes, the Bucks have one open roster spot. Ryan Rollins, his two-way eligibility is running out this week. Assuming he is active for the next couple games, I don't know why he wouldn't be. That would lead us to think Ryan Rollins would get a guaranteed deal for the rest of the season. Does it mean that's a certainty? I would think, JR, if the Bucks thought there was a backup point guard, two guard on the buyout market that was better than Ryan Rollins, it would have been done already. They've had this open roster spot now for several weeks. So we'll keep an eye on that in the next week, what they do with Ryan Rollins. Now with Bobby, he is eligible to be put on the suspended player list in 2 weeks, the sixth game of his suspension. And what that allows is the Bucks to sign a player to fill Bobby's spot or the suspended player spot. In that instance, it would likely be 10-day contracts. You know, it's more than 10 days. It's 10 days or three games. So a player, I mean, a couple years ago when Brooke had his back issues, JR, they signed DeMarcus Cousins briefly. They gave him a standard deal. It was non-guaranteed. So he played with the team for far longer than three games. They waived him. There was no guaranteed money. Essentially just a tax bill. And then they signed Greg Monroe for a 10-day contract before acquiring Serge Ibaka. So if they really feel like, let's say Giannis gets hurt again, Jericho Sims gets hurt, Brooke gets hurt and they're really down a big, they can put Bobby on the suspended list and sign some bigs to sort of backfill. There's really little financial ramification. The Bucks have enough money under the aprons to do these things under the second apron, JR. It's really just a matter of, does Ryan Rollins deserve a guaranteed deal? Will the Bucks give it to him? They typically do these things because it's just a good look. You know, it's not a ton of money. They have money to do it. I don't know if they'll put Bobby on the suspended player list, JR. There's really no financial benefit to this for them. Like, he's already not getting his salary, so they're saving about $5 million in tax. You know, I think it's only if one of the other guys gets hurt to a degree where they need to backfill and maybe sign a 10-day guy. But they could do that at any point after five games. So a long way to say, a couple of options. It looks like Ryan Rollins might be moved to a guaranteed deal, but we'll see. Bobby, you know, again, I think that's really more if there are some injuries that they need to, you know, make sure another big is added.
Anything else, Jim, before I send you away? I know Giannis is getting healthier. Damian Lillard is getting healthier. Any other thoughts?
You know, yeah, I think Dame playing 37 minutes is good. I mean, he's still listed with this hamstring and injury management, so I guess we'll see if that comes out. Giannis called it interesting that he's on a minute restriction. I think he said he only had to deal with this once or twice, maybe. Coming back from things, he finds it odd that it's several games now, but it's clearly ramping up. Although he did say, JR, he didn't shoot any free throws against the Heat. And he was like, yeah, you know, I was trying not to be too explosive or do certain things. So he's clearly still, like, managing that calf, which, so obviously the Bucks are going to do that. So really, probably
he had a couple nice drives to the hoop, though, too. Like, a couple spins and scores and things.
Yeah. But I think what that means is he's probably not going to win a scoring title now at this point. But he still remains eligible for postseason awards because he is not, you know, he's still a handful of games, you know, clear of the minimum threshold. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think, JR, look, if you can go to Houston and win, that's, I would say, their biggest win of the year, trumping the Houston home win, come home and beat Denver at home, then that would be their biggest win of the regular season, because Denver, Jokic is either going to win his, what, fourth MVP in 5 years or be second at this point behind Shea.
Probably, but yes.
Yeah. So this week is a good week, JR. Like, let's see what this new-look Bucks team, what they can do. Can they score enough against a really good Houston team on the road? They've been bad on the road, JR. I don't know. Can they beat a surging MVP playoff-style Western Conference opponent at home? I don't know. They don't have they have zero wins against the best teams in either conference, JR, zero.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
The NBA Cup does not count, yes.
No, it does not count. So they have zero wins against these teams. So, I think these next couple games, JR, are pretty indicative of where this team is in the moment and then maybe where they can go. So I think it's fair to put some weight on regular season games in late February.
And the Knicks have kind of the same problem. They haven't beaten anybody ahead of them. So it's not like it's unusual to the Bucks, but right now there still seems to be like a huge gap between Cleveland, Boston, and what the Bucks have going on. Milwaukee, the fifth seed right now, still a half game behind Indiana for the fourth seed, so still very much in that conversation. You're right, busy week with great teams on the docket, so we'll see how things go. He is Jim Ozarski. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. We'll be back again next week, presumably to chat again about the state of the Milwaukee Bucks. Thank you, Jim, for joining me. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.